You're listening to the Laugh Factory Podcast Network. For more shows, visit the podcast page at laughfactory.com.
It's the After Laugh, After Laugh. Welcome to the After Laugh, After Laugh, After Laugh. After Laugh, man. Go ahead, pull up a chair.
Yeah, we are new friends.
I think we've only met a couple times.
That's true. Yeah.
But you're one of these people who, because I'm an old hat. I've been doing it for, 16 years. And I feel like you came on the scene strong. And all of a sudden, Cameron Esposito's name was everywhere. I was like, who is this bitch?
Oh, that's actually like, we love a who is this bitch. You know what I mean? That means I arrived as I meant to arrive, if that's
the
response I'm eliciting. I started in college, so I've been doing this for 20 years. So actually, you're the young.
I'm older than you.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I started when I was 19.
Oh, 19. My gosh.
I started doing improv when I was 19.
So you were an improv troupe?
Yeah, like I was an improv company. That for some reason that feels better emotionally than troupe. Troupe is like a slap in the fucking face. I was on the improv team.
Improv team, troupe, company.
In college.
And when I... What was it called? Because it had some stupid name.
Of course, it's the worst one.
Quipfire.
Yeah, no, it's called My Mother's Fleabag. That's what it's
called.
Actually,
I kind of like that one.
It's actually the oldest collegiate improv group in the country.
Really? What college?
Boston College, where, don't worry, they also kind of, like, hate-crimed me. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like a... It wasn't totally smooth, because you could not be out. You could be kicked out of school for being gay. That's
back
real.
Back up. So what year are we talking about here?
I graduated in 2004.
In 2004,
you could not be out
because it was a Catholic school.
Yes,
it is a Catholic school.
Yes.
So if you were out of the closet,
yes,
in 2004 in BC,
yes,
you'd be expelled.
So it didn't happen to anybody that I knew because nobody came out to test it. But the administration, like students, were actively saying, "You have to repeal this." It was part of the thing. You have to open the non-discrimination policy to protect staff and to protect students that are queer, and the university refused. So nobody came out because they didn't want to be expelled.
Do you remember what the exact policy was? Because it's funny, because in 2003, which is where I met Hilary Swank, I did a play about gays in the military, and it was all about don't ask, don't tell.
Yep.
And I think it was poised to be a big hit, but it was too soon after 9/11, and people were like, we don't give a shit about don't ask, don't tell right now.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was also kind of like that.
We had stuff going on.
The furor over there was kind of like – it was kind of dying down. But it was the policy, I think, up until 2006, something like that.
Yeah.
I think Clinton repealed it.
No, he is actually the person who enacted it.
He is a person who – then how did they get revoked? Obama revoked.
Yeah.
So that wasn't until 2008?
Whatever.
9, 10?
Something. I don't know the year on that.
So it was the same policy, I'm guessing. Like a don't ask, don't tell.
It was – it is not protected by the non-discrimination policy. So you know a non-discrimination policy? Like it's – like an employer will have it.
You can't get fired based on –
It's like you can't get fired based on, you know, race, ethnicity, like ability. It's printed in everything.
Yeah.
So sexual orientation, gender, sexuality were not included. Uh-huh. And that is the thing. There were protests on campus, like, can you include this so that people can come out?
Yeah.
And the university refused. So it was a big deal.
So if you went to the protest, you were kind of outing yourself.
No, I don't know.
There were spies with binoculars pairing up the administrative offices.
It was very, I think the word is actually sub rosa. It was very like.
I got to look that up.
Yeah. It was very like faculty would put like an allied sticker. Do you remember when being allied was like as far as people would go? You know what I mean? Like nobody was fucking like, I am gay, but people were like, I'm allied. But BC would not allow an allied group on campus.
Wow.
People were trying to organize. They wouldn't allow the vagina monologues to be performed there because there's a queer couple in it.
That's bananas.
So it was wild.
It's funny.
It was legitimately like very bad.
It's weird because although I'm older than you, I mean, not that much, but I'm older than you. I feel like my perspective is basically like, oh, things were okay. Right.
Things were not okay.
As of course,
okay.
Like the cis white gender.
Yeah. It was not, things were not okay. It was harrowing. It was really awful.
God, that's awful.
Yeah,
I had no idea. And also Boston, it feels like, I know it has like weird vestigial racism and shit like that.
Yes.
But it feels like it's a pretty cosmopolitan town with all the other colleges there. Well, you have Tufts, which was basically everyone was gay there.
Boston is. You just referenced it. Boston is like the weirdest place in the world because it is tiny. It is extremely liberal in some ways and completely conservative in others.
And there are like 50 colleges crammed together.
There are more college students there than any other city in the world.
I'm sure, yeah.
So that's true. But then also, like, they don't sell liquor on Sundays. So it's a combination of things where you're just like,
Irish Catholic combination.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's just too many things.
That's so bananas.
So yeah, it was rough. But why was I even talking about
that? So let me ask you, because that's really fascinating. So you were in, and when did you know that you were gay? Or I don't know.
While I was already at this college. Like,
so
I went to college.
You were freshman.
High school,
you were like, I'm just a girl who's straight. I went to prom. My hair's long.
I did it. I did go to prom. My hair was long. I did date the captain of my high school.
You have way better sideburns than me, and I'm jealous,
yeah,
by the
way. Yeah, no.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I'm getting the hair guy for Alaska Daily to put sideburns on.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have fucking insecurity about my sideburns.
Come on, baby. Get on my level.
All right, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I dated the captain of my high school football team.
Yeah.
I was.
You were the popular chick?
I was popular, but like not in the, like not in like the drinking, like short skirts way, although I did wear a short skirt to my Catholic high school, but more in like, everybody knew who I was.
Got it.
Kind of like friendly, loud person.
Were you athletic too?
I was a big
jock.
You
look like an athlete.
Yeah. I was a big jock.
What was your sport?
I played basketball, soccer, and I swam.
Oh shit. Yeah. Triple letter.
Yeah.
Yeah. That didn't raise any red flags, but like she's a little too athletic.
This is why I've got to talk about this boyfriend. The captain of the football team is a... That's a captivating boyfriend.
Yeah.
For other people. Like,
yeah.
I think other people were just like, I don't know. It works.
Yeah,
nobody
of course.
Ever asked. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you play? You have a tank top on. I can see your bodies.
Also triple letters.
Play?
I was track, soccer, and football.
Yeah. What position?
Well, I joke about it in my act a lot because my football team was all black.
Mm-hmm.
And my joke, I say I was the one, there were actually two white people on the team. I was the other one, but I played receiver, but really I was a kicker.
Yeah.
I was a second streamer.
Beautiful.
You can't compete with black people. Who are we kidding here? Let's not be so PC. It's true. I was okay. I was like athletic enough to not get like given wedgies and shit.
Sure.
And lotioned, which was a hazing technique. Do you know what lotioning is?
Nope.
By the way, this was.
Do I want to know? Hang on. Okay, I'll hear it. Yeah. So I wanted for a second to see if I needed to pretend.
Well, this was
no,
what's
good.
So weird about it. It was a hazing technique in my high school football because we'd go to like football camp in the summer. And what they do, they
tell me how old you are.
So you're like, you know.
No, your age. Like how far apart are we in age?
6 years.
Okay. The reason I'm asking is because like this would never exist anymore. And it's something that's of our generation.
100%.
And so like,
and
please,
I'm older, yeah.
Take me back. But like,
maybe
this is. Yeah.
Okay. So. It was so what we go to football camp. They would basically take a guy who's new to the team or a new starter.
I hate it already. Keep going.
We're in the middle of the woods, by the way.
I hate it. It's terrible. Keep going.
And you're in a cabin just sleeping in your bunk.
Yeah.
And the starters would all come in. They take you out. They pin you down. They get a tube of cocoa butter.
Jesus Christ.
Put it in your asshole and like empty it out. Right?
What?
And it's called getting lotioned. And it wasn't even...
Wait, hang on.
This is the 90s. And it was early 90s. And it wasn't like a type of thing where like you felt that was the... like.
That's I hope sexual I don't, assault.
100% it is.
Also, I mean the
it's
the,
rape.
Though you slid into put it in your asshole in a... in it. I was unprepared for that to be
what did you
were
think
saying?
Was going
to
happen with the tube of lotion?
I don't know. I don't know.
And people are like, hey, did you get lotioned? Like, wink, wink. Like, it was the most normal thing.
I did not think it was that, Bill. That's
by the way, my high
thought.
School, T.C. Williams, the movie Remember the Titans, if you ever heard that with Denzel Washington. That was my high school.
Yes. Wow.
Very, very famous high school. So,
and this is what...
So at one point, it got... Someone ratted. Someone snitched. And I remember the coach. He says, I like this dude. He was like this older black man. He was like, I hear you guys been taking people out, pinning them down, and putting lotion up their backside. And that's gay. I feel like that's gay. If you do that, you gay. And then it stopped.
Did that shut that right down?
Because they were like, oh, man, we don't want to be gay. We were just lotioning people.
That is...
I never got lotioned. I don't know why. Maybe because they felt like, let's not lotion the cracker. I don't know. Maybe they felt like I wasn't part... I don't know. I escaped it. And I was literally like, well, I'm getting lotion this week.
Have you spoken to other men your age about this? And was this happening at other schools? Or is this like specific to your school?
I don't know. I don't know.
Please, Cameron. Listeners, can you just... this is so...
Isn't that bananas?
Terrible!
And it was one of those things... This is the best analogy I can think of, although it's not really a good analogy. But like, so I grew up, my dad was an engineer. We grew up kind of poor. I had two older brothers. We had an old beat-up station wagon that we'd drive everywhere. Three boys. My dad never wanted to stop for a toilet, so he just drilled a hole in the bottom of the station wagon. Yes. And put like a red funnel in.
Okay.
And we were literally in sleeping bags.
Uh-huh.
On the back, no seatbelts of course.
Yep.
And we just roll over and we just pee in the funnel. And so I would be at school like, hey, remember, you know, when you're at school and you have to, you know, you're on a trip, you have to pee in the funnel. And they're like, what? I'm like, you know, you pee in the funnel in the car. They're like, what are you fucking talking about? And I would tell them, people were like, that's so fucking weird. It was kind of like that. It was so just a normal thing.
Extreme.
At
yes.
the time.
Yes, I understand.
And literally, it was like, it wasn't until like maybe 10 years later that I was like, wait, what the fuck?
Yeah, that was terrible that was. Also, I had a similar station wagon situation. Nobody was peeing because I have sisters, so it was all girls. So the funnel would have had to be like a pretty wide funnel, you know, like with straps or something. So anyway, that wasn't going on. But I drove everywhere in a station wagon with my family growing up.
Uh-huh.
And my older sister and I drove in the back seat facing backwards. And we did all manner of shenanigans back there. Like, my parents never had any idea.
So you wore seatbelts or anything like that?
No seatbelts. I don't know what the fuck we were doing. One time, my dad got pulled over. And we were... And, like, I remember his eyes in the mirror as he was like, all right, girls, as a state trooper approaches. And we both, like, shot up and we were just nude. Like, my sister and I had just taken all of our... So then my dad realizes he has, like... just a bunch of naked children in the car as the cops are approaching. He was like, God damn it, put your... Anyway.
Oh, my God. Would that have been illegal to be naked in the car?
I think it just looks suspicious. Don't you think it looks a little suspicious?
Yeah, I would say. You're traveling across state lines with these naked girls?
With naked girls, yeah.
That's so funny.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, so anyway. So I was football, never got lotioned. You know, in some weird way, I look back at my life. I'm like, I was pretty lucky up until a certain point. But, like, all my friends would get beat up and jumped and mugged.
Yeah.
It would happen, like, right before my eyes. And I would just, like, walk by, like, oh, how come I'm not getting beat up or jumped or mugged or lotioned?
Congrats on your privilege in, like, life. I mean, you know, that's amazing.
I
don't want that to happen to you. But also, why was it happening to other people?
By the way, that isn't white privilege. It was other white people this was happening to. But I'm trying to think, like... Yeah, anyway, the lotioning thing. And I was captain of my soccer team and all that stuff. And I remember they were trying to get me to haze people. I was like, I'm not going to haze people. What's hazing?
Hazing
is just like – the older I get, the more I realize just how disgusting men are. I know that sounds really stupid to say, but it's kind of true.
Look, the lesbian didn't say that on the podcast. It was you that said men are disgusting.
But I keep almost like not believing things I see. I'm like, no, they did.
I don't know. This is really true. Like, I don't – I have very close male friends, but they're the kinds of men who would want to be really close friends with me.
Yeah, of course.
So that's a self-selecting group of guys.
But also, like, who wouldn't want to be close friends with you? Like, you're cool, you're smart, you're funny as fuck.
No, 100%. But what I mean is it's also a certain kind of guy. Like, I have been friends with the same guy in different bodies. It's always the same guy. He's, like, tall and he's, like,
a little
sports, maybe.
But slightly androgynous?
Slightly androgynous, yes.
No
tall,
hair in their chest?
Sports, a little androgynous. Well, like, maybe also, like, into – maybe, like, a rocker also. Like, might play music.
Oh,
you know
okay.
what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's
maybe the sober guy with the tattoos.
Exactly, yeah. That guy.
The Josh Adam Myers type.
I've been friends with him for fucking
– yes.
In every stage of my life. I still have multiple friends that are that guy. So this is what I'm trying to say is men that are not that – I have no idea what men are like.
That's so funny, isn't it?
Because I haven't dated men in 20 years. They were children. We were all children.
Of course.
The men I dated were kids.
Yeah.
I have no idea what an adult man is like.
Well,
these adult men.
Let me ask
I don't
you
know
this.
What your life is
and
like.
And I don't want to, and because you're so funny, I don't want to like make this so dark, but like, I feel like on my podcast, unfortunately, I've had so many women, you know, straight, bi, gay, whatever, say, anyway, so I was assaulted. And when I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, it's crazy how many women have been assaulted. I mean, it's almost, you know, they say 1 in 4, but I'm like, is that, I think it might be more. Because the stats just kind of bear out anecdotally that it's just most of the women I talk to have had some level of assault growing up. And this is very, I don't want to ask like your personal experience about that, but it just seems
like... Well, I mean, I made a stand-up special that is called Rape Jokes about my own sexual assault. So
oh, there
not,
we go.
It's not common knowledge.
I don't want to do a deli. I'm a comic, motherfucker. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I would not recommend to anybody to do an hour of stand-up material about being raped.
I thought you were going to say, I wouldn't recommend anyone to get raped, but
no,
okay.
that totally recommend. No, I wouldn't recommend it because
why? That sounds amazing.
I'm really glad I did it, and the process was really fun. I think I forgot that I would have to do like interviews about it, and that is very weird. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. You're on the phone, like they're like, but when did you know
that? God.
And I just was like, oh, I've created my own hell, you know, like I made it for myself. But I am really proud of the special. And
when did it come out?
It came out, 2018. And it was like one of the first things that people were, I like released it myself as a fundraiser.
On YouTube?
It just was on my website.
Okay.
And it raised over like $150,000.
What the fuck?
Rape crisis. And it was a big deal. It was like,
that's huge, Cameron.
It was in like a bunch of year end, like best of shit for just,
maybe
that
that's
was on
where
my
like all of a sudden your name was everywhere. All of a sudden.
When I got to LA, I did land hard. Like, that's true.
What,
I like,
what was the, when you get into, when did you get into LA?
I came in 2012.
2012.
Because I had already worked in Boston and in Chicago, and I was just like ready.
Yeah.
And I was in LA for 1 year to the day, and then I was on Craig Ferguson doing stand up. And from there, it's not like it's been, and I never didn't have a dip, but it's just, I've worked.
It's just been a consistent
I've worked
kind of.
In the last
and how
10
many
years.
Series have you been in?
Well, I had my own TV show for a while.
What was it called?
Called Take My Wife, that was with my ex spouse. We had a TV show together. That's on Stars.
Oh, on Stars?
Yeah.
Wow, I never heard of that. It's amazing.
Yeah, and then...
It's a great title, too.
Yeah, it was a great
nice
show.
Nice throwback to Rodney.
Absolutely, we love it.
or Henry Youngman, I forget.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been in a zillion...
How many seasons did you do Take My Wife?
We did 2 seasons.
And can you still see it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And what else? I mean, I don't know. I've been in a ton of stuff. Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I was in a Gary Marshall movie before he passed. Shit that
what
I
movie?
Never... Mother's Day was his last movie.
I don't
movie.
Remember that. That's one of those classic sort of like tentpole...
Everybody's in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get your check every fucking March, whatever.
Like, I'm from Chicago, man. Nobody in my family is in the business. And I was in that movie like doing scenes with, you know, Kate Hudson, and I'd been in LA for 3 years, and I was just like... How did this happen? Like, I didn't... I also thought...
And
I
were you
like,
always playing gay characters? At that point?
Well, I mean, how do I say this? A time where I might not have looked queer, that time is in the distant past. Like, it was, you know, there was a time when I had, like, long symmetrical hair.
Yeah.
But that was a long time ago. When I moved to LA, I had, like, fucked up, like, I had... A side mullet is what I called it. I had like asymmetrical hair.
Yeah.
I wore motorcycle jackets. Like, I didn't. Sure, you could cast me to play a straight character.
Yeah.
Who is this straight woman? So, no, I've never.
It's like
played.
Joe from The Facts of Life. Like,
it doesn't make any sense.
Now you're like,
at
oh, Joe's gay.
It doesn't make sense. Yeah. So, no, I play only gay characters because even if I'm cast to be like a bar owner or whatever, it's like, well, it's me.
But that's great. So
I look
kind of
fucking
like,
gay as hell.
You know what's so funny? Because when I was in school for acting, did you go to acting school or did you just...
No, I was a theology major. What I'm telling you is...
You're just gifted.
This is a surprise. This is
my whole
surprise.
Life is a surprise. But everyone's like, I don't want
to
be...
Where did you go to acting school?
NYU for grad school.
Classic.
Yeah. I have to say for grad school because there's a difference.
Okay.
But everyone's like, I don't want to be typecast. And I'm like, fucking typecast me. I don't give a shit. You know how many white nationalists I've been playing?
Oh, my God.
I'm like,
oh my god,
hook me up.
What else? What else do you put?
Whenever, because
what else do people? What is your, what? Like, if you were to say, what am I like definitely gonna get? Like, what are the you get the description?
Well,
get the
I mean,
breakdown,
there was one. Show I went in for this okay. Military guy, nice arms. I'm like, I'm gonna book it.
Yeah, there we go. Uh-huh.
You know, nice chest, not so much.
Believable.
Nice arms.
I'm gonna book it. Yeah, military, 100%. I see.
And
then
I booked it. And then cops, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, cops. I've never played a Nazi.
Okay.
And I want to. I really want to play a Nazi. I don't want to do the accent. You know what I mean? I love doing accents.
It's moments
so
away. It feels like it's rounding the corner.
So
it's about to be here.
I've played like three percenters and white nationalists and this. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about. Who gives a shit? On Alaska Daily, I'm playing like a white nationalist. But not like in like, hey man, what you doing in these parts? More just like, more of a Gavin McGinnis type of like smart.
Oh, I can
sort
see
of,
that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is really kind of cool because Tom McCarthy, who is the writer, he wrote Spotlight. You know,
Tom McCarthy.
You know Tom
was in my mother's Fleabag.
You're fucking kidding me!
Group.
He went to BC. That
I'm
makes
serious,
sense.
Yeah.
Wow. Are you still in touch with him?
I was never. He's significantly older than me, and I've never even met him.
Yeah.
But, like, I saw the station agent in the theaters because
yes.
that
That's
was one
him
of
was him
like
and
his
Peter
big
Dinklage,
yeah.
both. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, tell when you, you know, when you are on table read with him, tell him I said hi.
Yeah.
And, yeah. No, that but is, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was his.
We knew each other in New York, and he was like, he's like this super good looking, nice guy. And then we knew each other up until the early 2005 or in New York or whatever. I would go see his plays. He saw me a couple of things. And then I had talked to him on the phone after I booked the role. He's like, hey, Bill, good to talk to you, man. It's been a while. I go, yeah, what you been up to, Tom? Totally joking. He's like, well, you know, Tom, I'm joking. You want a fucking Oscar. I'm kidding. You're fucking the man. And not to mention the fact, like, he could act in his ass off, too. He
could
do anything
he wants.
Number
one, he's amazing. Number two, also, like, it bears mentioning that the reason he wrote Spotlight, like the reason that movie is so good is because he went to BC. When I was at BC, that's when those stories were breaking.
Whoa.
So like the front page of the Boston Globe was all of those stories while I was walking across campus. And technically, you know, the boss of BC is the Archdiocese of Boston. So those priests were the bosses of our school. And actually, this is so fucked. This is so fucked. But BC bought, right after the year after I graduated, bought a giant tract of land from the city, from the Archdiocese of Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And that money was directly earmarked for children. You can look up the percentage, because BC had to like openly disclose this.
Wait, what do you mean? Is earmarked for children to pay them off?
To pay off those kids, to pay for, so my college... that would not let me just be
with
a
your tuition
gay person
was through the fucking roof.
Yes.
Paid
used that money to buy land from the Archdiocese that specifically went to settle those claims.
Oh my
Isn't
God.
Isn't that fucked?
It is fucked.
Yeah, but anyway, that's why Tom should win an Oscar, because he knows the whole thing and was there. I mean, not during the same time I was, but...
Wow, that's bananas, man.
It is bananas.
It's a fucked up world.
It is fucked up. I'm going to put a jacket on. Just
yeah, please.
Worry.
I turn the AC really low. I can turn
it
up.
I like it to be cold.
Why don't you go into a nice dramatic monologue while I raise the AC a little bit?
I don't
bit.
Think you should, but I like it to be cold.
Let me just do a little bit.
Okay. Have you ever been to Alaska?
I've never been.
It's the one state I've not been to. I've been to the other 49...
Let's go when we have some time.
I desperately want to go.
Yeah.
Where are you? I mean, maybe you can't talk about this. Yeah. Are you in an outdoor environment during any of the stuff you're shooting?
Yeah, they made, I don't know what the lot is here. Cause I was asking, is this an ABC lot? They're like, no, it's just like a lot.
Yeah. There's a zillion. Yeah, totally.
And they shoot like, the same lot where they shot, the Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can just walk down. It's like, everything's like a ghost town. Like, oh, Chicago Fire. Why is that here? But they made like a strip mall.
Yeah.
an Alaska strip mall that looks so fucking cool. I was there last night. It's awesome. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, they put the lampposts up and everything. These guys are amazing.
So my friends are also shooting a show up here called Cal Fire. Is that what it's called? And it's like about, you know how sometimes prisoners are then like drafted into a firefighting unit to reduce their sentences. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I've never heard of that. This sounds so fucking cool.
This is a thing that happens in California, and then they usually are forest firefighters.
Those have the highest mortality rate?
Because it's going to kill you, but also you're like, they're like, well, you're disposable anyway because the system's fucked. So would you like to have this job to reduce your sentence? This is a real thing.
That is incredible.
So there's a show coming out about these folks, but the reason I'm saying this is because they're shooting it all here, and it's like in, you know, just all these woods that you can see from here.
By the way,
I love that behind the scenes shit.
I love the idea of that show, but the documentary of that would be way better. You know what I mean?
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine. We'll go make that. I can't believe we're scooping them on their own thing.
That's incredible. So much wild shit you'd never know. Do you want some?
Yeah, sure.
Of my orange juice?
Yeah. That sounds good.
You might need to, yeah. Anyway.
Talk to me about, you're going to do stand-up tonight.
Hey, this is my goddamn interview.
No, I want to ask a question.
I'm going to House of Comedy. Adam Hunter, shout out to Adam Hunter. He called the owner and he said, be there at 7:30 for a spot tonight at House of Comedy. Now, it's weird because I'm in a really weird place with my comedy, too, because I feel like I know so many people who are close to me, they're friends to me, they're like, you know, you come off like such a dick on stage, but in real life you're not.
Oh, that's interesting.
But it's funny because I kind of feel like, but it's just funny to be edgy and offensive. You've seen me perform.
I have seen you.
I guess I'm kind of.
We're doing different things. We're doing different things. But sometimes I will look at, like, is it fun? Like, why, what is the, if you get up there and you're like doing, okay, I used to tour for like a year and a half. Uh-huh. When I first got to LA, I was Anthony Jeselnik's opener. So, okay. I'm just saying this to say, mm-hmm. like, I certainly understand that there are comics out there who have like a discrepancy between their stage persona and who they actually are.
Yeah.
Like for me, I have a persona, but it's not like, I'm not trying to say shit on stage that I don't mean off stage. Like, that's just not what I'm doing. And I'm always curious about, like,
I guess the thing is instinct. Interesting. I guess I don't, like, how do I put it? I kind of mean most everything I say.
There we go.
To a degree.
There we go.
The most compassionate, empathetic part of myself is going to be like, come on, Bill. But the part of me, the raw id part of me is like, yeah, fuck it. Why is this a thing? Why is this, you know, I mean, I'm trying to think of the bits that I have. I mean, I have a lot of goofy shit. I do this whole thing about accents and I do this because I had to learn a Boston accent for City on a Hill. You know, it's a tricky accent, as you would probably know more than most people. And people usually, you know, you watch these old shows. I remember I did Rizzoli and Isles. And I was like, do you want a Boston accent? They're like, we tried for season one.
Oh, yeah. I'm on a show that takes place in Boston. Zero people have a Boston accent. Nobody's even been there except for me. This show is a Boston show?
But people aren't doing the accent, are they?
Yeah. A Million Little Things takes place in Boston. Nobody has a Boston accent.
And no one's doing one.
Nobody is pretending.
That's the way you got to do it.
So funny is that, like, sometimes they just name check, like, a street. Like, that's truly the whole thing. You know, it's like, it's not shot in Boston. Doesn't look like it's shot in Boston. Yeah. But sometimes they'll just be like, you know, Mass Ave. And then we're like, oh, yeah, Boston.
Yeah, well, the Boston accent isn't quite the thing that it was in the 90s anyway.
Yeah, sure.
This is a contemporary show, I'm assuming.
Absolutely.
So City of Hill takes place in the early 90s, right? So, and it's fucking like, you know, so I had to, like, work at Boston. And I don't want to have the fucking shitty accent. Because every time I hear it, I'm always like, ugh.
So did you, like, work with a dialect coach?
What did I do? No, I should have. No, I just kind of I just kind of do my own thing and just kind of, like, really. But one of the things I really think about, it's almost like when you do an impersonation. I don't know if you ever do impersonations. But you can kind of, when you get it right, you can kind of feel the hair in the back of your neck kind of go, okay, I got it.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? So it feels the same thing with the accents. Like if I'm okay, I got the bot. And then when it's not, I can hear it kind of being tinny in my ear.
Oh, God. Oh, I love
I'm also obsessed. I'm also obsessed with doing accents. But anyway, so I do a whole bit about like doing the Russian accent and then just make the Russian gay and all of a sudden you're a German, make the German gay, you're French, or French is just a gay German. And they do a bit about Boston, New York is like the New York accent sounds like it wants a dick, Boston sounds like it doesn't want a dick. New York's like, hey, we don't give me the cock, we don't give me that. And Boston's like, what are you doing? What are you fucking retired? Get the fucking cock in my face, you fucking weirdo. And it's just a stupid bit. And I do Chinese versus Japanese. That's where all of a sudden the problem starts. Because I can do French, German, da, da, but the minute I go a different race, or I mean, because obviously you can be any of these races in another country. But the minute I go to A, it's all of a sudden you feel everyone go, but it's fun. It's funny to do. It's not offensive. I'm making fun of every accent.
Well, I mean, I hear you that it's fun. I just mean, like, is it necessary?
No, and I
in 2022 to be doing a Chinese and Japanese accent? What is the point of it?
It's just it plays out the logic of the premise that I'm saying.
And
in
it
my
makes
joke.
You happy.
Because for me, it's almost like, because I work on like a guttural Japanese and not more of like a nasal Chinese. And it's kind of a funny, silly bit. Now, by the way, wait a second. Wait, Cameron, if I do the same thing, if I pitch accents, hold on now. If I pitch accents for that isn't Asiatic, let's say for any other country in the world, Scottish, Irish, sure. South African, Australia,
sure. Music,
because they have a little bit like New Zealand, everything's happy because nothing can happen.
Sure.
And Australians kind of like you're grabbing your dick and New Zealand, you cut, and South Africa is a little more pointed and you're grabbing your nipples.
Absolutely.
That's fine because it's all white people. But the minute you cross over the threshold, then all of a sudden it's a problem.
I mean, and do you have any ideas maybe why?
Let me think about it.
I
get it.
No, I mean, it's dehumanizing, right? Like when white people do voices and because there's a history to it, right? Like you've seen Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Of course.
So you've seen that fucking exists within our pantheon
of
movies.
I'm not wearing the glasses and the buck teeth. Come on. It's not
that
bad.
I know, but you're... But I mean, it's not you. It's not that you, Bill, have done the thing. It's like when we walk in the shadow of the thing that we've done as a country.
Got it. Makes sense.
You know what I mean?
Here's the only thing. Here's the only sort of rejoinder I would have to that.
Give me the rejoinder.
Is that...
I can't wait to give you my rejoinder.
Yours will be better because you might be smarter than me. But my rejoinder is I have never done a show in an urban room. Like I do Chocolate Sundays all the time.
Yep.
Or in a room that has a lot of Asian people where black people or Asian people have ever been offended. There has been maybe once or twice in my 16, 17 years of doing it where a black person was like, yo, man, I was a little bit fucked up. A couple times, and I'm like, fair. But in general, it's not – my feeling is that there's something – and I know that – look, this is a horrible name to evoke, particularly in front of you. But like there is a point that Dave Chappelle said when he said – listen.
Terrible name
Well, because I feel like Dave Chappelle – like everyone in the LGBTQ community is like, fuck Dave Chappelle.
But, I don't care about Dave Chappelle. Okay.
But the idea that like you are including everybody in what you're making fun of. You're not so – worried and this sounds weird to me, but there's something that's a little racist about not addressing certain people because you feel like they're off limits.
But if you're
taking care of everyone else,
nobody disagrees with that. Okay. Nobody wants you to like
thank,
not.
Thank God.
Nobody disagrees with that. I'm, by the way, absolutely think every joke on the planet, every premise on the planet, like make your fucking joke. That's what I would say to any – like there's nothing is off limits. Of course. I'm a comic. I don't think anything's off limits. It's just that it has to actually also be funny.
Yeah, of course.
And make sense. And the thing that I will say about you – it's so – it sucks for you because you just don't – it's a – I feel like I have so many different things – directions I could go with this. First of all, a black audience, a majority black audience in the stand-up sense – has its own culture that's like different than white stand-up culture.
Sure.
That expects like body over the top act outs. Uh-huh. So if you're doing accents in front of that audience, like you're within a history where that's what folks do on those stages. So like, yeah, you're fine. Like that makes sense to me. I do think the Asian accent is actually different because there aren't majority Asian rooms that you're performing in. There just aren't. Just aren't there. I'm sure that in the United States of America, you're not performing in majority Asian stand-up rooms because that doesn't exist.
Except for like Asian Night at the Laugh Factory, where I do that joke.
Sure. But I don't. Who's in the audience?
Yeah.
Also, my wife is Japanese.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And her family, they were in the concentration camps.
Holy
so
fuck.
So terrible things happened to the Japanese people in the United States.
Oh, my God.
And I think when we...
Come on. They're re-education camps.
It's bonkers. But it doesn't matter. This isn't to say... It's just to say, like, the reason people care about that, it's not because... I don't think people are precious. I don't think people are snowflakes. I think sometimes people are just like, dude, think of some new shit. I think that's kind of more what it is.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
No, you're absolutely right. And I totally get that. The thing is that, like, I feel like when I do a lot of my material, I have a theme, right? And I'm going to try to carry the theme on to the end of its most ridiculous conclusion.
Sure.
So when I talk about... the accent thing, you know, the whole thing starts with, and by the way, this is sort of what we were getting to, how like you're saying, I don't know what these guys are like. They're not drawn to me. I'm not drawn to them. So I don't know.
Yeah.
And actually somebody called me to task for this because I have a whole bit about a true story about someone saying, you know, Nazis are on the rise in America. They're on the rise in the police force and they're taking over. And I was kind of like, really? Cause I'm basically a first round draft pick for the Nazi party. No one's ever approached me about it. You know, no one in my life is like, hello, would you like to hear more about the organization? We have some pops that you could, and I have a whole bit. It's very silly. I go, by the way, here's how you do German. And I go, you sell the Russian, make the Russian gay, you're German. And so it just goes silly, ends up Japanese guys. And it ends with me going like, look, that's not racism. That's acting. There's a difference between racism and acting. And it goes about how I'm accused of being racist. And it goes about da, 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 da. And so it's sort of like part of it's a small part of a bigger piece that I feel misses the point if I excise that. Do you know what I'm saying? Because the point is like,
also
this is extreme.
I mean, I hear you, but I love that this is where the podcast has gone, but also like, if it's acting, you're not going to be cast as a Chinese person in 2022 anyway. So what the fuck? But you might be cast to be South African, to be from New Zealand. Every
no,
other
Cameron,
person that
fuck you with your good points.
Is you
all right, fine. I'm
me.
Not going to do it. Fucking goddamn it.
I don't give a fuck.
You totally
what
won
you
that
do.
Argument.
I don't give a fuck.
Fucking
what you
goddamn.
Do.
But you know what's funny about that is one point, I don't know how close you are to Masada, but one point, I think Jamie was just trying to like make me a better comic. So, and I was playing a Russian in a play or something, and he's like, buddy, I want you to go on stage. You got to be Russian for a whole month. So I was like, my name is Yorgi. I'm from Moldova. It's just like white trash of Russia. People say, haha, Yorgi, you're white trash. You probably sleep with sister. And you say, fuck you, we are in love. Just goofy, had a whole Russian bit. And then... I wanted to, and then people were like, look, Jamie loves characters, so he's going to make you the Russian guy for the rest of your fucking career at the club. You got to like find a way to break the cycle.
Oh.
So I was like, hey, Jamie, can I try a different accent? And so he said, okay, what accent? I said, I want to try Indian. This is a long time ago, okay? So I'm from New Delhi. I'm from India. People do not realize why my accent.
God,
I haven't done the accent.
No.
People literally were like, it's so interesting that people have that white people have that after the show. And I was like, oh, I'm just putting it on. But I imagine there are white people who have an Indian accent in New Delhi. Is that possible?
I think most people in India are Indian.
All right.
But there are a lot of white South Africans.
Your logic is pissing me off.
White South African accent.
Does your wife ever win an argument with you?
Nobody's ever won an argument with me in my life. I dated a white South African woman whose family was 12th generation South African.
Oh, wow.
Do you know what that fucking means? It means
Jesus
like...
Jesus Christ.
Some like...
12th generation. I mean, that's like part of that slavery.
There's some... Yeah, stuff was... Things were...
Yeah.
Things were going on. Yeah. Serious.
Okay, fine. I'm going to lose the fucking joke.
I'm peeing. I'm going to pee.
Go pee.
Yep.
I'll just pause real quick.
Hold pause for a second.
Camera had to pee. We're going to veer off the delicate subject of how hilarious my comedy is and go into my thinning hair. That, you know what's so funny? I have a friend of mine, a very famous actor who I'm not going to name names, but he was like, I could never live with a woman or be married because I just don't want them to see my medicine cabinet.
Oh my God. Well, that's – so when I came out, I asked you.
By the way, I don't give a shit.
Ask you, because – so you have like just a supplement in there that's like a hair growth supplement.
Yeah, it's like
supplement.
A Bosley hair growth supplement.
Yes. And the reason that I wanted to ask you about it is that – well, I don't have any idea what it's like to be a dude actor. Uh-huh. But I would imagine that the most feared thing
is hair loss.
Is hair loss.
It used to be, but now you can be bald and have a full head of hair. It's bananas.
Exactly, because there's like systems and all that stuff is happening. That's happening.
The transplants
for
basically like they take the hair out of the back of your head.
And
I mean, Jeremy Piven was bald when he was 20,
and also
he now has hair.
Like, kind of a lot of men are wearing wigs. Like you, like if like I'm a kind of a good. I'm a good wig spotter.
Wig? Like, who wears a wig?
Like, Ben Affleck.
No.
Yes.
No fucking way.
Look at his hairline. Sometime.
Yeah, it's surgically crafted. You think he's going to wear a wig?
I think he's wearing like a system.
First of all, you have the type of hair that every man would like push an old lady down this
really
hair store.
Rough. It's really
like
rough.
I look at hair, I'm like, I want that fucking hair.
I know.
You got like the Bradley Cooper hair.
Yeah.
So
The reason I'm saying this is because it's like, I think as a woman, there's a zillion things to fear, right? Like age on your face or like your body changing. There's a zillion things to fear. But I think for men, it's like, is there other stuff besides
Your dick and hair. Your dick and your hair. That's
but
it.
That doesn't affect your career. Your dick doesn't affect your career.
Says who?
Is that real? Is your dick affect your career?
Yeah, it affects my career. You know how many babies I have out of wedlock?
Come on. No, but you want your in your personal life, you would like your dick to work.
Well, I mean, I think the thing is, you know, as a man, your testosterone level starts going down the wee-wee-wee, and then you get belly fat. Belly fat's a big one, right? Because belly fat, you kind of can't really, I mean, it's just kind of there. You can't really hide it. Like, I've done shows. There was a time I was getting pretty fucking fat, and but then I was like, I guess I'm just going to be like the kind of stocky.
That's what I would imagine.
The stocky Irish cop guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. I was like, I'll just be that guy. So I played there's a show out on Hulu called Wu-Tang. It's about the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yes.
American. And, you know, you never really see yourself from the point of view of a camera because you look in the mirror, and I look in the mirror, I go, I look fine. I don't really grow out too much this way. It just goes this way, which you don't really see in the mirror. I'm talking about like the, you know. And then all of a sudden you see yourself on film, particularly on film where they add, you know, 10 pounds or whatever. And I go, oh, fuck. It doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for me to be that guy because I don't have like – I don't have the face or the voice for it.
Oh, that's,
you know,
so interesting.
I mean?
Yeah.
I have like a – not like a high voice but higher pitched voice. And I have like a face that's a little younger looking. Like I can't grow sideburns and like grizzle and shit like that. So if I have like a big stocky fucking outdoorsman body, it just looks fucking weird. I just
that
look like a
so
fatty.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So then did you make some like changes in your
life?
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I started intermittent fasting, which is just – just starving myself.
Don't eat. Yeah, exactly. So, disorder. Yeah.
When you're poor, you can be like, well, I'm intermittent fasting right now. But no, and because I got to like 224, I think at one point.
What do you usually weigh?
I mean,
like, what do you weigh right now?
The lowest I've weighed in the past, you know, 5-6 years was probably 185. Because I played Rudolf Nureyev in a play. I think that's where I was doing my Russian, and I had to be. You know, he was gay Russian ballet dancer who died of AIDS. So I had to get down. So I got down to like 182. And then I played Mickey Mantle. And during Mickey Mantle, I was like, I'm going to get big because I don't want to look like a, there's going to be all these Yankees fans. This Broadway show. I don't want to look like a, so I like bulked up. But then after I was done with that, I wasn't working out the same. And my body just went, bah.
Right.
So I was just a fatty. I was like, oh, I'll just be the fatty. This is great. It means I can eat whatever the fuck I want. I have those donuts from Whole Foods. And then I saw myself and I was like, it just doesn't work. It doesn't, you know, there are some people that kind of build totally works. It doesn't work for me. I don't know why.
That's really interesting. I think about this stuff all the time because something that I have been trying to do in the last couple of years is like get stronger. Like I have more muscle.
Meanwhile, you're super skinny, you have perfect hair. So none of, you're like, this is interesting. You look at me like a zoo animal.
Oh my God.
You're
no,
balding you and fat. Fuck you.
I don't think you're balding and fat. You look great, first of all. And second of all, like, I do not see myself as super skinny. So that is shocking.
That's so LA, my God.
It is. I'm not saying it's correct or helpful to my self image.
Are you like Hillary Swank and Boys Don't Cry? Like, you got huge boobs and big butt and you cover it up and no one can tell because of the way you dress?
Why, yes.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
I hope I didn't say anything that was offensive.
No, just it's like you nailed it.
Yeah.
No, I have like
that's
a.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
So
like,
let me ask you this. Sorry.
Sure. Come on.
So I know, you know, as a lesbian, but isn't like big boobs and a nice curvy ass, isn't that also attractive to women?
I think so. It's just how I see myself is different than. Like, I didn't grow up looking at people who look like me. There weren't people on TV. You're right, Joe from Facts of Life. It's like, yeah, but she was, like, supposed to be a teen, and she wasn't supposed to be gay, and she didn't have short hair. So, like, yeah. When I was growing up, there were no queer people around me, and the fucking queer people on TV, they were a joke. Or they
like,
were Rosie.
Who else?
Like, Rosie O'Donnell's Rosie like, O'Donnell. I love Tom Cruise. That's, like, her whole thing. You're like, really? That's the point of view, is Tom Cruise? Like, that's what I grew up watching, you know? Even, like, you know, Ellen, Rosie, like, those people weren't out. So even the people on TV that looked like they might...
Yeah.
Be what I was, yeah. They would be like, well, here's my boyfriend. And I was like, and here's my boyfriend. You know, like it was confusing.
So was Ellen, did Ellen have a husband or a boyfriend? I forgot if she ever did.
No, but like in shows, you know, like in,
yeah, of course.
You know, not when she was.
When did she come out in her show? When was that like?
96? Something like that?
Yeah.
98? Around then?
Because that, you must have been in what, high school then?
I would have been in like, I think I was in grade school. Like,
grade
I think
school.
I think I was in eighth grade.
So
I wasn't
that,
allowed to watch her show.
Oh, you
because
weren't
of
allowed.
That.
Got it. Now, when did you realize that you were maybe gay?
When I was a sophomore in college.
I want to hear that story. Was there a person that made you go?
Yes.
Let's name her on the show.
Oh, she knows. Her name is Callie. Hello, Callie.
Callie, you could have had this star right here.
No, we're still friends. We were a whole thing.
Oh my God! I want to. You should make a movie about that. You're both at BC.
We were both at BC.
So you're both
we were both into God. You know. You know about God. We were both into God. We went to
and Jesus too.
Kingston, Jamaica.
On a what trip?
Like a mission trip.
This is oh my God!
And then that mission trip ended with a 3-day silent retreat on property, beachfront property, that was owned by the Jesuits that was owned by BC, but it was also next to like a Senior Frogs.
By the way,
so like Senior Frogs, and then next to it in Montego Bay. So Senior Frogs next to it is this retreat, and we've been literally we went to a leper colony. Like I was like,
you were like Che Guevara.
Things were shit was going on. Yeah.
So and this whole time you're just hanging out. You don't think you're gay. She doesn't think she's gay.
No.
But you're just getting along. You're
but
liking
we're
each other.
Staring deeply into each other's eyes for no reason that is clear to me. And then on the retreat, there was a moment, I think my head was in her lap. She's like playing with my hair. And I was just like, friends, we're friends with each other.
Yeah,
that's
what girls do.
It's very confusing. Because girls do that.
They
so
do, 100%.
You've seen footage of sleepovers.
I mean,
that is what girls do.
I mean, girls have a sort of like naturally sweet bisexual vibe most of the time.
That is true.
Thank God you said that. Yeah.
There's a lot of confusing touching going on.
Yeah.
And anyway, so... that all happened and we went back to college.
And you had no kissing, no nothing, just
no,
the hair
stroke.
The
story is, when you hear this story,
write the movie.
It's 1,000 times more insane.
Oh my God, you got to write this.
Imagine.
That's like such an incredible
fucking
concept.
So we like have that,
concept.
We go back to college. The first night back, I was dating two men. I had two boyfriends.
Playgirl.
I was dating two men. And they were both having parties. And one of them was like, a wild man who would have like a kegger.
Yeah.
And the other one was like a chill dude. He would wear like, he had long hair. He looked like Jesus sort of, and he would wear like a robe and smoke hookahs. So it was like one of the parties is going to be very up. The other one is going to be very down, super mellow. Like it's like Coke to weed. Like it was like that vibe. Right.
Yeah.
So I asked this girl, Callie, to go to these parties with me as like my friend.
Yeah.
I'm like, I went to these two parties, these two guys I'm dating, and she came with me, and we went to the first party, and the guy and I hung out. He kissed me goodbye. We went to the second party.
Second party was a stoner party.
Stoner party, yep. The guy and I hung out for a while. He kissed me goodbye. Then we went back to my room, and Callie and I were talking. We're, like, getting closer.
And at this point, are you feeling like, I want to fuck this girl?
Yes. The idea of fuck, I don't even think.
Yeah, yeah. You just want to be like, intimate with her somehow.
I'm, like, can't even imagine. I'm, like, how would this even, it's, like, not even, I wanted to kiss her. We start kissing. One of my roommates walks in. And I threw her backwards over a couch so that she is upside down with her legs in the air and just was like, nothing, and ran to the other side of the room. My roommates, who are like probably drunk, it's college, they're like, don't even notice anything's going on. This girl goes home.
She goes home right away, so you didn't have a time to like rectify.
To process anything. We've made out, right? So she goes home. So I wake up the next morning. And I have on my face, it's like my face is, I immediately feel something is wrong with my face. I go look in the mirror and I have a perfect circle of red bumps on my face because when I was like at the leper colony in Jamaica, I had contracted facial ringworm.
What? So
ringworm
the
is a
fuck?
Fungus. It grows in a perfect circle.
Yeah, I know.
And
it
looks like a fucking mark of the devil. So I look in the mirror. I've kissed a woman for the first time. My face is erupting.
No way.
In the most
and you thought
I was just
God
like,
was intervening.
Like I have been smote. I mean, it was like I was branded on the face.
God.
So I tried. I was so ashamed, and like something terrible has happened. I tried to ignore it for a minute. I flew home. It was Easter time. My parents saw me like getting off the plane, and they were like, we have to immediately go to a dermatologist. Like, you are for sure contagious.
Yeah.
And that's, like,
yeah,
ringworm from, like, a dude's balls. You know what I mean? Like, it's, like, it's just, like, the most common place. We definitely know that's ringworm. So we go, and I get, like, this cream. It doesn't matter. But it is really contagious. I had to call
all three of those
people.
I do jiu-jitsu, and ringworm is a part of the game.
Rampant,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I had to call both of those guys and that girl and be, like, I kissed you. But I also have ringworm on my face. So check your whole body. And nobody got it.
Yeah.
But for like 24 hours, I was like, what if they all get it? And we're in the fucking dining hall. And it's like,
wait a minute.
That is my actual story of the first time I kissed a woman.
Oh, and what happened with you and this girl? Did you kind of like get together after that?
Yeah. I mean, I was legitimately really upset because I thought I was going to hell. But
of course,
I would sneak out and make out with her in every secret place on campus for
just
years.
Make out?
We started. No, I mean, we eventually had sex.
Yeah.
I had an orgasm for the first time with her. Like, I'd been like, you know, I'd never had any of these experiences. Like, I just had not really understood what
that
people were
so you
talking
about.
So, had
your first orgasm when you were in college, like, what, your junior, mm-hmm. senior? That must have been a crazy fucking, like, experience.
I didn't really understand why people had sex.
Of course. I've heard that. Obviously from women who are like with horrible men. And they're just like, I don't like what's okay. It's fine. And then they have an orgasm. Like, oh, I get it.
Yeah. Like I didn't have sex with my boyfriends. We did everything else.
Yeah.
But
men at that age, they don't know how to go down on a woman at all. Probably.
I think it was that I just like. I was so into the guys that I was dating as people. They were cool guys. Like, I really picked awesome dudes, like, for sure. But I was not sexually attracted to them.
Yeah.
So it just didn't feel like anything.
It like, felt like, it oh, this of, is what
it
this
felt
is
like
what
my
it
skin
is.
Was crawling. Like, I felt, like, grossed out.
Interesting.
And so, I think when I was like, I don't want to, like, good luck to me for the rest of my life since sex is a punishment. Like, thank God I don't have to have premarital sex.
Yeah.
And then I started sleeping with Callie and I was like, Oh my God. Oh, it's like amazing.
I get it.
I fucking love this. This is amazing.
High five.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
By the way, it was so fun.
I hope you should write that as a
You're
movie.
Right.
It's a great period. Because you know the truth is like because people are so like ensconced in like gender ideology and just sort of LGBT, it's sort of like people almost, particularly younger generation, take it for granted that like it's okay.
Yeah.
But 5 minutes ago, it really wasn't. And I think most people don't even realize that. Even people our age kind of like, oh, it was that bad.
Yeah. I think it's very weird to be this like middle generation.
Yeah. Because
like I was never arrested, right?
Of course.
Like if I was 20 years older, I would
of
have
course.
Been arrested,
Isn't
right?
Bananas.
And then if I was 20 years younger, like you're saying, I might just have like that no shame.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have a choice.
It's our exact age.
Yeah,
like,
right? That Gen X.
Very weird middle generation where like it wasn't totally fucked, but it was pretty fucked.
Now here's something that I'm it's a very delicate subject, but
I can't wait.
I feel it's an interesting subject for me.
Yeah.
As someone who has like a young daughter and everything, I've never really been, despite whatever my upbringing in Virginia and everything, I never really felt like homophobic. I never really, if someone was gay, I was like, oh, they're gay, or I never really felt that way. Now I know with everything going on with gender identity, you know, there is a, and some older trans people have addressed this issue. There's something, and obviously a lot of people in the LGBT community address it. There's something that's going on that is sort of young girls that want to transition to be male. That is sort of 10 years ago, 15 years ago, they would be lesbians. And now they're being told, well, you're not a lesbian. You're actually a man and you need to transition. And they're being – the belief system some people have is that they're being indoctrinated out of lesbianism into being trans because there's something like I think that the male to female transition has almost been consistent for the past how many years in terms of people who feel it or want it or whatever. But the female to male has shot up like 2,000%. And I don't know what you feel about that because I know some lesbians are kind of like it's because of an ideology that's become a social contagion. Some people are like, well, now they're more free to express themselves. But I'm curious, as a woman who carries the banner in a lot of ways, what do you think?
Well, so actually, I'm like glad you asked this question. I think it's a cool question. First, I will say, I don't totally identify as a woman. I identify as gender fluid. So what I mean by that is sometimes I feel like a woman, and sometimes I do not feel like a woman.
Yeah.
And I feel like. You and I have hung out for a minute. Like, I don't even know if that's confusing because you could see what I'm talking about, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm a woman, but like, I'm also not a woman. Like, it's both things are true. And I like that about myself. And it's always been true since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go on hormone replacement therapy for me and I'm probably not going to change my body. But there's something already about me that's like a middle thing.
Got
and
it.
That's always been true. Like this,
so you consider yourself non-binary? Is that what you'd say? Or more as gender
like
fluid?
Like gender fluid is like under sort of the non-binary umbrella. It's technically like a trans identity. But it's the fact that I also identify as a woman. Some non-binary people don't at all. So that's why the gender fluid thing.
Interesting. Because when I was – and by the way, I talked about this on this last podcast. It was just a weird moment. I saw a – like the – okay – the idea of a butch lesbian, right? It used to be the type of thing you'd see the butch lesbian and the lipstick, and they were a couple.
Sure.
Right? Now there's all sorts of lesbian, you see two of the hottest women in the world, they're a couple. You can see two of the butch, they're a couple, doesn't matter. But
I like that butch and hot are in opposition to each other.
Well, you're hot and you're butch, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Dig a hole, Bill.
I know what you mean.
I mean like Instagram model booty shot bikini hot, like long, you know, like.
You should see me in a bikini. I look great. I'll show you a picture
later. I'm sure you do.
Anyway,
it'd be too confusing if I saw it. Anyway, so I think that, okay, whatever. Butch, and I saw a woman who, the leather jacket, you know, the hair. And so I go like, you know, my head goes, oh, look, you know, butch lesbian. Not like, look, butch, but just like, oh, how delightful. And then I got closer and she was pregnant and I was like, oh, that's maybe I was making gender stereotypes. Maybe she could be straight. She dressed that way. And then her like lipstick lesbian part came, kissed her, and helped touch her belly. And I was like, I should have fucking stuck with my first instinct. I fucking knew it. And then my second thought was, for her to be pregnant, there had to be plan B in the relationship, right?
I think that that can happen for a zillion reasons, but one of them is plan B. Yeah.
And you get that right away. Do you understand that if I say that to – I've said it on stage like once and people are like, hmm? I'm like, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, because that's stereotypically the male role, the butch lesbian. To be pregnant seems like that's not what you'd
I mean, I think
initially
one
want.
Thing I will
but
say
that may
is
be,
that,
again, old caveman thinking.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I'll say is that in a lesbian relationship, there actually isn't even a male role at all. But I understand what you're talking about masculinity.
Do you think
and
that's
how
changed,
think
though?
About masculinity.
Do you think back in the but day
wait,
was
go,
like that?
But I want to go back to what you were even – this does relate to this other thing that you were talking about. There's even a word for this. Trans-exclusionary radical feminist.
TERF, yeah.
Yeah, like that's the word for what you're talking about. I am not that because that actually fucking blows to try to – to
of
turn
course.
Around and try to patrol somebody else who's making a decision about themselves after what's happened to me, I would never do that.
Of course.
What you're talking about like kids being encouraged to transition, I haven't seen. I know there are kids who are talking about things that maybe they weren't talking about at that age, mm-hmm. but I haven't seen the encouragement. And that is what I think is where there's like a difference in what's really happening versus like
the
myth
media
that you'll see on TV. Exactly. Like the media is saying people are being encouraged. You know, when I was a kid, like when I would go, I never was in any of the school plays because I didn't want to audition for any of the girl parts. The only time I was ever in a school play was when in one of them, I auditioned to be Christopher Columbus. This is in the 90s. Nobody knew Christopher Columbus was fucking... Nobody in my white town knew Christopher Columbus was a problematic person to be. But he was a ghost in this play. And so I was like, well, it's maybe not totally a dude because he's a ghost. And I went after school and I auditioned for this role. And the school called my parents because they were like, Cameron has auditioned for a male role. And my parents, to their fucking credit, and they are not... My parents are fucking Republicans. They've made a zillion mistakes, but this is in this moment. They said, was she good? Like, was Cameron good?
That's genius.
And they said, yeah.
She nailed it.
So I got the part and I was Christopher Columbus.
That's great.
But like, I already knew that something was going on for me.
For sure.
And the school was like, there just was no place for me.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I
so
don't
the,
really
the flip
see,
side, it's much better to be on the other side of that.
I don't really see kids... being encouraged to be something they're not. I see kids being afforded the opportunity to be who they actually are.
Interesting. Okay.
That's what I see.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe
I don't know.
See a different thing.
A lot of it is anecdotal. A lot of it is fear mongering, being piped down your throats
totally,
by Fox News affiliates.
Yeah.
And you know, fear is basically the fuel that fuels this fucking economy. So you know, if you consume it, it's going
to
be there.
Also,
so
what could be scarier than somebody telling a child to do something to their body? Like this is something that we've universally feared.
Yes.
That's, by the way, it's also like the argument that we used to have against. I mean, this still exists in Florida against like gay teachers. Like this can't be an okay thing because these teachers are pedophiles. Remember when?
Yeah.
Gay and pedophile
used to be
completely
conflated. 100%.
We've done that just with now trans folks. So
100%.
Like, we just switched the thing.
So trans
around.
Are the new pedophiles.
But it's the same fucking.
Now let
story.
Me ask you this: in Canada, where we are, I keep have to remind myself that.
Yeah.
Did you see the whole thing with the shop teacher, with the breasts,
with the giant boobs? I mean,
that's like a little bit different,
but
right?
But that's not. Again, it's like.
But the fact that people carried water for her is crazy. To
I don't
me.
Know what's going on with that person. I don't know.
Something that's not good.
But when I think we might be overly emphasizing. Like, there's going to be, okay, I'll tell you, here's a story.
Yeah.
You know, my high school, there was a guy who looked up all the girls' skirts. Like, he looked up all the girls' skirts.
It's like an 80s sitcom movie.
Like, it's like, you knew which teacher it was. And we laugh about it. By the way, it's fucked. Like
it's fucking
it's
crazy.
Fucked. Also, my high school, like, there was a priest who was busted for child porn. I'm not necessarily equating that to having giant breasts. But, like, teachers at school have always been doing wild
crazy
stuff.
Crazy shit. They're people. They're fucked up like everyone else.
For somebody to say, like, for a parent to maybe request a private conversation with that teacher and say, like, I think the size of your breasts might be distracting to my child. I don't know if that's appropriate or not, because if this person was a cisgender person who's fat and has giant breasts, we can't call that conversation. I don't know. But, like, the idea that, therefore, trans people are a problem.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
People are a problem.
People are a problem. 100%. I completely agree with you. Have you seen pictures of this person, by the way?
Yeah, I've seen the breasts. Yeah.
Okay. Because I remember I told my mom about it. My mom was like, it's fine. People. And my mom is so great because she's from Appalachia. She's totally WT. But she's just like, it's fine. People be who they want. I don't care. I was like, look at the picture. She's like, that's fucked up. What's wrong with that person?
But, like,
but the fact that people are still carrying water for it is a little bit like, there's here's where I line up. And I think this is where we go back to the subject of stand up, like maybe questioning why. Because I've always been a Democrat. I've always been liberal. I always feel like, and I don't know what your relationship with your parents are. You say they're both Republican. My dad's like an avid Tucker fan. You know what I mean? But my dad is also, ironically or not, one of the best human beings I've ever known in my entire life. He's empathetic. My daughter is a lesbian, and I would love for you to meet her. She's so cool.
That made me smile.
Yeah, I love my daughter. Oh my God, I have so much to talk about her. She didn't come out to me. I saw a picture of her on Instagram with this girl,
and
they weren't like kissing, but just the body language. I was like, bitch. So
How
I called
old
her
is
up.
She?
She's 20. She's gonna be 22.
Oh my God. Fuck yeah, keep going.
So I called her and I said, Olivia? She's like, yeah. I go, why didn't you tell me that you were gay? She's like, I don't know. I didn't want you to be like, I don't know. I just was kind of like worried. I was like, you really think that I'm like such a caveman that I'm going to – I go, first of all, I'm kind of glad you're gay because men are fucking gross. So it like that makes me feel a little bit better about your life. I said, but please, like you can always tell me. I go, that's my fault because clearly I presented something to you that didn't feel safe. And I hope that doesn't continue. I will cry if I keep talking about it.
Oh my God, that's beautiful.
But she's fucking awesome. Anyway, why the fuck did I bring that up? What were we talking about?
Your dad.
Yeah, oh, but my dad. So my dad and I found out I had my daughter Olivia when she was around 2 years old, right? And me and the mother, we'd never were a couple. It was a one-night stand. We never got along. There was like threats of court and all this. The mother is like, you know, literally she lives in a halfway house now. And my dad, this Republican, her whole life, he's been supporting her on some level, whether it's like with money when she needs it or encouragement or like college and all, like his, just not asking for credit, not just doing it his whole life, just giving her, putting money in an account, made like a little trust for her. And my dad has very little money. And so I hear my daughter talk about how like, oh, these fucking Republican, you know, these fucking asshole pieces of shit, and they're ruining the country. I'm like, well, your granddad's a Republican. He's probably one of the most stable, great men in your life. So sometimes you at least be open to the possibility that doesn't like consign someone to being an evil person just because they have some beliefs that may be misguided. So going back to what I'm saying is like, I've always been liberal, but there's a part of me that understands that, hey, enough. You know what I mean? And there's no hey, enough part of the Democratic Party right now. It's all just like, okay, yeah, she's got the 50-foot titties is fine. Like, go ahead, man. She's got to be herself. I feel like there's got to be like a safeguard to a degree of just like, okay, that's – we there's a limit.
See, I think that's – to me, the limit is like hurting other people, right? Mm. Like that's the limit.
Do you think you could be
Beyond
hurting a child?
That, huh? If
you think that could potentially hurt a child who's young and impressionable in the class who sees this every day and gets
fucked
up?
Well, that's why I was saying maybe there's a path to a parental conversation. I don't know. I'm not like – in that school, I don't understand the whole vibe, right? I don't know this teacher. I literally have seen like the same shit you've seen, which is
a meme on Instagram.
Like, and that is like grainy and like shot from fucking the person who killed JFK, you know, like through their telescopic lens. Like, I don't know any, you know, I don't have all the facts. But what I will say is like, of course there are things that can like hurt kids in the classroom. That's why I said that shit about the other teacher. Like, but I just don't think that we need to this is the same thing. This is the same view I have about abortion. This is the same view I have. It's like we stop at hurting someone
else. Got
it.
And
yeah, not before that. Like, so before that, like, if anybody wants to have whatever size boobs they want, they should go for it.
Whatever they want. I kind of feel, I feel the same way. It's interesting when you get older and you kind of like, you just start like looking at, it's such a fascinating subject because I could never be a Republican, obviously, because, you know, I'm definitely pro-choice. I'm pro-gay. I'm pro, pro-weed for sure, obviously. So, like, those are three of the major things. I'm like, you just got to be pro those things 100% of the time. You know, and if you're not, totally, go fuck yourself. And although I also understand, I used to think that being pro-life just meant that you were a misogynistic piece of shit. I don't necessarily believe that. I think that some people really do, whether it's true or not, but I think in their hearts they really believe that, like, they don't want to kill a baby.
I know. Well, one of those people used to be me because I truly was a pro, like, an anti-abortion activist, like, went to marches.
Oh, wow.
At a different time in my life. Again, I've actually had, like, kind of a wild life.
Yeah.
And the reason that I believed those things is because that's what I was taught. Like,
yeah,
my sex ed is that we watched an abortion in class.
Wee.
We had no other sex ed.
That'll do it.
We watched an abortion in class. But people that I knew, students, fellow students, were having abortions on the weekend and having to come and watch that shit and pretend like that wasn't happening. It just denies reality.
Yeah.
So when I look at, like, who I used to be and those people, I think the difference is looking again at, like, what's the greatest harm.
Yeah.
The greatest harm is denying reality.
Of course. Of course.
And so, like, that's...
Isn't that such a banana? Because that idea that safeguards on human behavior can actually curate human behavior in a way that is more configurative with a nuclear family and the wheels that keep the economy going. The idea that exists as an ideology is not necessarily like evil, but it's sort of the result is it denies human nature.
It denies reality.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it to me. I think that's the thing where it's like, yeah, sure. Okay, fine. I like, great. We'd all love a house or whatever. Like, I grew up loving a sky god.
Yeah. God, I love. Is that a Patton Oswalt reference?
No, but was that a Patton Oswalt?
Oh, Sky Cake. It's one of my favorite bits. Anyway, but it's funny. So I know you probably have to go in a bit.
I have to go in a second. How long have we been talking?
We've been talking too long.
Yeah, it's time to go.
But there's a great, like, Democrat versus Republican idea. It's like, Democrats live in the past. Republicans live in the past, which keeps them angry. Democrats live in the future, which keeps them afraid.
Ooh. Who lives in the present?
Buddhists.
Yes.
I think that's a great way to end the podcast. Anyway, I could talk. You're great. You're fascinating. You're so talented. I'm so glad that you came up and talked to me.
So fun.
Yeah, it was great.
I like. And now we will just hang out like people.
Yeah, okay. We're friends now. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Bye.
And where can people find you, real quick?
You know where? Instagram. Right now, fucking find me on Instagram. Everything's there.
At Cameron Esposito?
Yeah, at Cameron Esposito.
Awesome. Bye-bye.